The glorious Scottish island of Bute is the subject of this podcast. And it's a little different to some destination podcasts I've recorded because there's a hard copy to download that goes with this interview. Roddy McDowell of Kayak Bute has written a free sea kayaking guide to the Isle of Bute and the surrounding islands of the Clyde, and he's asked me to help publicise it. So part one is appearing in the July 2015 issue of Ocean Paddler magazine, or you can download a PDF of the full guide from seakayakpodcast.com, and there's an electronic version of his guide in the Amazon Kindle store. You might wish to have one of those to hand before you listen to this, but it's not essential. No one knows kayaking around Bute better than Roddy.
I've lived on Bute for 30 years, and I've kayaked here for most of that time. And increasingly, as I've become involved in, if you like, commercial coaching and guiding, and people know that I exist, I get more and more emails and phone calls saying something along the lines, I'm coming to Bute, or my club's coming to Bute for the first time. Can you give us some pointers about routes and things to look out for, etc.? And I always try and respond very positively to that. But also, I was thinking to myself, Roddy, why are you writing the same emails all the time? Why don't you just do what you keep promising to do, which is to do a little guide and prompt sheet about paddling in Bute and the surrounding waters? So the motivation was to put down something in a coherent form around all the questions and that I'd been asked by various paddlers over the years about journeying in this area.
And why is it worth coming to Bute?
There's the beauty of the island, there's its history, there is its location. And I'll start first with the location. Journeying from your sea kayak, for me, is what is so captivating about the craft. It's what drew me to it and has kept me involved and enjoying and thrilling to it for all these years. But making these sea kayak journeys at different times of your life can be more or less challenging, depending on the time you have available. And a lot of people fit in their kayaking around lots of other work and life and family pressures. And one of the beauties of the Isle of Bute's situation is that being on the western side of the corridor that where most of or a lot of Scotland's population live, Glasgow, Edinburgh, Stirling corridor kind of thing, makes it very accessible. It's accessible by two ferries at Weems Bay to Rothsay and at Colindrive to Rhubodach. And people can get here and go on their first, if you like, journey without having to commit several days of travel to be here from many locations. I have clients who come up by sleeper from London, for example, and change platform at Glasgow Central, and they're on Bute an hour and a half later. And it's pretty accessible from all over Scotland by road.
And yet it's very, very different to the central
two ferry routes.
And yet so different.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's in the Clyde, the estuary. It's also got the links and the topography and the history that is so rich in the whole of Argyll. And a very short paddle journey from the by Bute standard built up east side of the island to the west side of the island can take you to places that feel and look far more remote than their paltry 25 or 30 miles from Glasgow would have you believe until you're there. To sit on the west side of Bute or on Inchmarnock Isle and look at the Arran Ridge is one of the great views in Scotland. There are many, and I'm certainly not advocating any particular paddle location as being better than the other. There are so many great ones in Scotland. But it is up there with the very best of the best, whatever that may be.
I like the fact in your guide that it's structured around a circumnavigation, isn't it, of the island, starting at the top right-hand corner, actually on the mainland in Colintrive. And you cover things like that, you know, letting people know where you're parking your vehicle because there's a little bit of history there and some previously unconsiderate sea kayakers parked at the old slip, left their cars blocking the area. So being warned about that sort of thing is actually really useful to make sure you don't do the same kind of thing. Why did you pick that area as a sort of a starting point, and what is it you're going into from there?
Picked Colintrive because it's a 3-minute ferry crossing or a 6-7 minute kayak paddle across to Bute. It's a very, very short crossing. With due respect to the locals at the Colintrive mainland side, there's pretty much unlimited parking, and you can be on Bute very, very quickly. And if you've made a journey that's taken part of your day to get there, within half an hour's paddle for Colintrive, you could be setting up your campsite at the north end of Bute. And I guess that I chose to go round the island in the guide anti-clockwise for the reasons that the west side and the west Kyle are so beguilingly beautiful and also have their challenges that I was kind of anxious to get on the water and take you there in the guide. But clearly you would take account of the weather forecast at the time, and it may be more sensible to do it clockwise depending on the winds and the way they might shift over the weekend. And I guess I should mention in terms of another reason for writing the guide is there's a kind of passionate belief that I have that journeying in the sea kayak is really what the craft are made for, with all the play skills that we adopt on the way to making those journeys. But the journey that you can make on Bute, with all its options to access roads and ferry transport, etc., it's a great one for making the transition from day paddling to packing your boat with all the camping skills and trimming the boat and all the things you have to think through for a proper journey. You can make a mini journey on Bute, write down all the things that you might do differently and the kit that you might not take or that you forgot and you would want in the future, and use it to cut your teeth on to take you to much greater longer term plans perhaps. So it's a great kicking off point for becoming a journeyer in the sea kayak.
A big feature, I suppose, of the north end of that island are the burnt islands, the smaller ones, just off, not quite the northern tip, but in that corner.
Yes, and I refer to them in the guide and perhaps with a little bit of artistic license, the history of the burnt isles, the burnt islands, I make no claim to have any academic or scholarly knowledge of, but the tale that it's where the Vikings burnt their dead after the Battle of Largs, which was one of the defining moments in the growth of the Scottish nation in the last 1,000 years, and the idea that the Vikings retreated back from Largs up to there on their way back into Kintyre and burnt their dead is always one that's fascinated me. And as I make mention of, and again, no scholarly roots for this, it often really intrigues me when I maybe sitting on the seashore and I catch my kayak or the other's kayaks at that angle low down when you're looking from bow back down the stern, how remarkably similar a profile from the front to the back of the boat it looks to the classic images that you see of the Viking longboats. The hull shapes seem to me to be remarkably similar and just massively scaled up or scaled down, depending on which way you look at it. So, yeah, a wee bit of reference to the Vikings there.
Oh, you old romantic, you. But bringing it right up to date, there's a connection there with the new Argyle Sea Kayak Trail, isn't there, you've got just around the corner from there.
I mean, it's been a really very, very welcome and also, I think, to be greatly applauded initiative that Argyle and Bute Council have taken to getting accessing some capital monies and putting some resourcing into making access and egress points for kayakers in Helensburgh and journeying through from Helensburgh up round the Kyles of Bute, where there is a really nice little three-sided roofed shelter open to the seaside, where you can sit and with your pals and have a drink and make a little fire in the pit. I still hope that at some point some of the land round it might be landscaped a wee bit to make it a little bit more friendly for taking a few tents there. You can get a couple, maybe three small tents, but it could do with a wee bit more development in terms of the landscaping for the camping side of things. But the Argyle Sea Kayak Trail, taking you down from the north end of Bute, the West Kyle, round Ardlamont Point into Loch Fyne and heading up to Ardrishaig and the Crinan Canal, and hence up through the Sound of Ling and on to Oban is a great initiative, I think. And there's just a little bit about that bit in the north end that's such, I think, a shining example of good practice that as a sea kayaking community, we should be doing something quite active to develop. And that is that beside the shelter, 100 or so metres away from it, there's a biomass toilet being installed. And as sea kayaking has grown in popularity, there are, as we both know, certain kind of hotspots that attract lots of quite high density use. And the idea of having some of the Scandinavian modelled shelter and a toilet that actually helps us really preserve the delicate ecosystems around them. And the north end of Bute, that area is part of it's a triple SI site. I mean, it's an ancient woodland. So I'd love to see not the commercialisation of, if you like, wild camping and sea kayaking, but I think we could do a little bit more to support the environment that we journey in with some facilities like that. And the design for that shelter and the toilet, the idea of the toilet, were very much we looked at work that had been done and shared with the Great Glen Trail when it opened up. And I think some of that was based on research the development officer there did on Scandinavian models.
Looking at the map that's in your guide, we're going to take the west coast now down to Ettrick Bay. What does that feel like going down that car? Because it's not very big, is it? You must get a fair bit of tide running through there.
There is probably up to about a knot on a spring in parts of the Kyles. It's only up around the Burnt Isles that you'll see things like eddy lines. And pretty much you can journey the whole Bute coastline and really, with the exception of the southwestern corner at Garrochhead, you can really avoid any tidal influence. So, for example, last week we were out with a group for 8 days and journeyed from Bute out over to Arran, the Kintyre coast, and back up to Portavaddy and back into the West Kyle. And coming up the West Kyle, we had wind and tide with us. So we took the obvious option of staying right out in the middle and accepting the free ride. But if the tide had been going the other way, Simon, we would have just probably snuck in at the coast and pretty much stayed out of it. And, you know, the swings and roundabouts, if you've been out for a few days and you're coming to the end and you're a bit tired, it's lovely to get the tidal and the assistance. On the other hand, it's also, even though it may be a bit slower, great to paddle a few metres from the shore and see all the shapes and the rocks and the colours of the lichens and the mosses and all the rest of it. So yeah, it's a consideration, but not one that would cause any difficulties on the scale that in some other parts of the West Coast perhaps you'd have to be mindful of.
So looking, going down that coast to Ettrick Bay, I'm just trying to keep us moving here, that looks like a lovely West Coast bay. I've never been there.
It is, and you're paddling through a transition at the north of the Kyle and at the Tinnabrook end on the mainland and the north end of Bute. For those of people, anybody who's listening to this that's old enough to remember books like the Swallows and Amazons and the kind of very pretty landscapes that those kids journeyed and played in, the top of the Kyle is very Swallows and Amazons, but you have, as you look down it, the clear feeling that things are opening out into much bigger water. And as you get down to the Ettrick Bay side, the Ettrick Bay kind of end of it, then the views of Arran and that phenomenal jagged ridge open up on the west, and the line of the Kintyre Peninsula further over as well. So you get the idea that you're moving from quite protected narrow channel, if you like, to big open water.
And you've got the Inchmanock, the island. That's,
yes.
You've got, I think you've marked three different camping spots on that. It's interesting that you're going around an island, yet you can go out and camp on another island.
Yes, and I don't know whether I can claim credit for this or I've just simply forgotten where I stole it. but the idea of the Isles of the Clyde and that phraseology is one that I increasingly find kind of that I'm uttering and talking to with clients and people who come here to enjoy it. And you've got Bute sitting there, and on the east side you've got Great Cumbrae and Little Cumbrae, which are both fantastic day paddles from Bute. On the west side you've got a lovely little paddle round the island of Inchmarnock, and sitting there on the western horizon you've got the great big island of Arran. So the Isles of the Clyde are, I think, a phrase that neatly sums up a phenomenal playground that has a huge part in the history of kayaking, of kayaking and development in Scotland in the 50s and 60s. There was many a guy, I guess, from the shipyards in days gone by in Glasgow, who built themselves kayaks and made great journeys down the Clyde and out to Arran. And many people will have read the Canoe Boys adventures, etc. So it's got all that history, but somehow, I know not why, it's often not at the top of people's list, or, you know, a must go to place to go and paddle. And I think that the things like the publicity in the Argyll Trail and perhaps this little guide, etc., might redress that balance, because it really is a jewel in the crown of Scottish kayaking. I mean, we rank as one of the great destinations in the world for sea paddling, one of the very best of the best. And the Clyde and the Isles of the Clyde are right up there outstanding examples of why the west of Scotland is so good.
Now, that west coast, once you've gone past Inchmarnock, that takes us right down to the bottom, and there's a little picture of an otter on the bottom of my map here. Otter,
yes.
Sightings.
Yes, there have been otters sighted.
Just take us down that last little bit to the bottom of Bute.
The last little bit down to Garrick Head is one of the few, and the south, the short section of the south coast, is one of the few parts of the trip, if you are making your first sea kayak journeys, where you will be difficult to extract yourself via road, etc., should that become necessary. There's plenty of paths to walk out, but it becomes just a little bit higher challenge down in that southwest corner, south of Ettrick Bay and Scalpsy Bay, south from it. As you head south, And on the Admiralty chart, there are overfalls marked at Garrick Head. And wind and tide can play a merry dance down there.
Because you've got quite a fetch, really, haven't you?
You have.
From the south.
If you've got a southwesterly or a southerly, it's coming right up from the Irish Sea and being funneled in between the Kintyre Peninsula and the Heads of Ayr, etc.
But presumably you get a pretty good VHF signal there, so you can get your forecast.
Yes, you certainly can get the...
Or for that matter, you can probably get it on your phone, can't you? Really? Yeah.
You get it on your phone. There's pretty good phone coverage on throughout the routes that are talked about on the whole of this little guide. I use Vodafone. I can't say what it would be on other providers, but generally XC Weather and Windmaker Pro, I think it's called, also use, and they pretty much come up everywhere if a little bit slowly at times.
Okay, back to the otters and the dolphins. Are these guaranteed down here?
They're not.
Well, they're on the map. You know,
they're on the map, and the otters are more frequent than the dolphins. Dolphins are a rare treat, but often porpoises, and we're hopeful that there are some reasonable signs that basking sharks are making a little bit of a comeback after the stupidity of the slaughter of them in the Clyde in just a mere 30 odd years ago, really. That would be great if the basking sharks come back in numbers. They're always sighted every summer, but not in the same way that you could talk about the kind of sea life that you'll see on the crossing between Rum and Canna or something like that. We can't pretend that. But there's and of course we've got there's the marine conservation area just off Arran, and that I think are early indications. It's a great hatchery for a regeneration of aquatic life in general. Seabirds that go with it.
You said it was kind of like not an easy place to extract yourself from the west coast. Once you've gone around the corner there, I'm looking now at Kilchatton Bay. Thank you for correcting me. And the name of the place there. How big a place are we talking about there? Are we talking about town, village?
We're talking about a small village, a ribbon development built round an old pier. There are many sites back from that up in the hills beyond it, which where there's a big early Christian monastic site, which in turn was built on sites of much more ancient civilization and worship. So there's a rich history in terms of habitation there. But Kilchatton Bay itself is a very small village. With a very occasional bus service a couple of times a day. But it has the great advantage of having a superb little slip and a very nice little quay with a picnic area at it and a toilet that's open 24 hours a day kind of thing. And that's all been done by the local community investing time and their own fundraising in repointing the quay and saving it from being completely derelict. And they've made a beautiful job of the whole area, it has to be said. And it also has a second great advantage to sea kayakers, that there's never any carry to and from vehicles of any distance, regardless of the tidal state. It's a super place to launch and land.
Is Mount Stewart worth landing, getting out of your kayak and going looking at?
I think so. If you land at what was the old boathouse for the estate, and there's it's clear where it is as you journey past it, there's an old pier and slip, and you walk up through the trees. There's no view of the house whatsoever, and suddenly you come out through the trees at the end of this long, long lawn, and this great kind of Gothic piece of architecture just sits there. It's too much to probably take in. In any meaningful way, just at a quick glance, but it is the seat of, I guess, a family that are right in the fabric of the development of the Scottish nation. They were at one point one of the richest in the kingdom. They built Cardiff Docks, for example, amongst many things. Bute Hall in Glasgow University is named after them.
Wow.
Because the Marquess at that time was one of the leading lights of the Scottish Reformation, and the challenge to appoint professors on the basis of knowledge base rather than patronage. So there's a whole lot of interesting stuff about the history of the family, and the house itself has astrological and astronomical features in the main hall.
And you can go around and see all this, can you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's quite breathtaking. And they even have mounted crystals in the roof. So if the sun's out when you're in the main hall, rainbows flip round it. It's
Whoa.
Not your average stately home.
Have you got them used to people going around here wearing Boynsey aids and cags and things?
Well, they've always been very supportive of Kayak Butte and its little business, and they have a number of self-catering accommodation units where they've renovated old farmhouses and steadings and things on the estate, and certainly had folk clients who've really enjoyed staying in the accommodation and doing some day trips on Butte.
Sounds great. And there's a cafe there as well, presumably.
There's a cafe there, yes. I mean, I should mention, although we're way past Ettrick Bay Cafe is probably one of the greatest in the known universe.
Excellent. That's the sort of information we need.
Yeah, the cakes there are something to be revered. Yeah.
Let's do the cafe stops. Ettrick Bay, Mount Stewart, anywhere else is a good one?
As you journey north from Mount Stewart up the east coast of Butte, Rothsay itself has a number of cafes, and they're good. There's one opposite the castle called Musica, which specialises in little vegetarian dishes as well as really nice cakes, and there's plenty of eating. I wouldn't go so far as to say fine dining. There's plenty of perfectly acceptable pub meals and the like to be had in Rothsay. And it is very unusual to have a town that has a marina right in the centre, bang in the centre of the town, that you can paddle right into, step out your boat on a little slip, and literally 10 metres away you're at on the main road, right in the centre of the town.
I suppose you have to be slightly careful with all the ferries coming in and out.
You do. There's a traffic light system which is pretty clear, red and green, and you have to stand off. And it's good practice to advise the harbour master on VHF, or indeed you can phone. And it's even better to let them know that you're sitting in the harbour waiting to go out, because they might turn the lights to green if the ferry's doing a longer stopover. But the ferries don't tend to hang about. I think I mentioned in the guide there are two of them that ply between Weems Bay and Rothsay. They take about 35 minutes for the crossing, and they run back to back, so to speak. So as one leaves Rothsay, one leaves Weems Bay, and they cross in the middle. So you're never that far from seeing one of the ferries coming or going. So they're worth watching out for, that's for sure. I think I mentioned that. But if you're journeying straight across Rothsay Bay, you are crossing the shipping lane and the path that the ferry's taken.
Presumably, if you have to resupply anywhere, that would be the only place of any size to find it.
That would be the place.
Supermarket size.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. There's a small co-op just on the other side of the road from the slip, where you land in the outer harbour in the centre of Rothsay, and a 3 or 4 minute walk from there will take you up to the other end of town, where there's quite a large co-op supermarket.
And then there's you. There's a little purple kayaker on the map.
Well, that Don, who of Butte Cartographics, who very kindly did the map for me.
So, sorry, it's amazing because people don't. I know that from my book, but it's amazing. There's a cartographer who does most of the PESDA Press maps on Butte, the same island as you. That's kind of amazing, really.
Yes, and you know, I mean, Butte Cartographic and Don Williams. I mean, he's a great guy, and all I'll say is that, you know, you know, this guide, I think I've put on the front cover, that anybody who enjoys it and finds it useful, if they make a Just Giving donation to the local charity that employs a beach ranger to keep the beaches clean on Butte, that would be just great. You can do it by text. And Don donated his map and his time, you know, kind of to the guide.
He's
a great guy.
So that's where you're based. So obviously that's the place if you want to hang out, or you need to go and get a kayak, or speak to somebody about the way it works.
And get a guide. Yeah, and if I'm about, and you know, the contact phone numbers and the details are all on Kayak Butte's website, it wouldn't be, you know, a daft thing to have the number, etc. You know, there's a trailer lies at my house at the boat shed, and you know, there's lots of bits of kayaking kit and incidental stuff. So if I was about and anybody had a kit problem or logistics problem, I'd certainly try and not see them stuck for anything.
Let's just finish the circumnavigation then. Heading back up to your start point, anything particularly special about that bit, or have you really got the idea of Butte now?
You've got the idea of Butte, and I guess if I had to say that, I've talked up, I guess, a lot of the island and the journey, as you would expect me to, and just to show that I'm a sort of balanced, realistic kind of guy, probably the East Kyle is the least of interesting part, though, that kind of 8K up from Kames Bay at Port Bannatyne north up to back up to Colin Tribe. It's lovely, but it's not perhaps got the same attractions and features and wow factors as some of the other parts of the paddle have. And that takes you back to your start point at Colin Tribe, where there is an excellent little hotel, four bedrooms, and Patricia, who's the owner and manages it and does the cooking, she produces some very fine food in that little bar. It's a lovely little bar to while away an hour or two and have a meal or just a hot drink and some of her cakes.
One of the things I did like about this guide is the fact you've got other things listed on it. There's a walking trail on Butte on Don's map there. There's information about limited, but there is some information about mountain biking and road cycling. And I think that's handy if people were, you know, they got there and maybe the conditions aren't right for them to go paddling. That there are other things to do. You can make a holiday island of it, as Butte always was.
Yes, I mean, in its heyday, I think, you know, they could put 10,000, you know, visitors down the Clyde on the steamers a day. You know, I mean, it was a massive tourist industry that was here in Edwardian and Victorian and really right through to the 50s. But that's a good point, I think, is it about there are other things to do on Butte. I mean, it was pretty cheeky, but clever marketing to have a walk from the north to the south of the island that's called the Island Way rather than the Highland Way, the West Island Way.
I did actually have to look twice at that.
Yes. I think Cameron McNeish actually is doing a fine job on further developing that whole idea of a West Coast walk up through from down Stranraer Way right up through Argyll. And we certainly are seeing a lot more walking visitors. The wee bike shop on the island, been in business for a long time. You can hire bikes there. It's really great. And I think that kind of takes me back to something I said right at the beginning about the island being very accessible from both Glasgow Airport and Glasgow Central Station. I mean, not everybody has the time or indeed the inclination to make kayak journeys of many days or many weeks. There are people that combine it with family holidays and do a bit of paddling as well as other stuff with their families, and Butte's ideal for that. The beaches for kids and all the rest of it.
There's one thing I wanted to ask you about, and that's something that in your description of yourself at the start. The Centre for Outdoor Ethics, you're certified by them as a trainer in Leave No Trace and accredited safe wildlife operator, but particularly the Leave No Trace thing. If when you are advocating the this is a good first step towards going on a multi-day trip rather than a single-day trip, and I can see exactly from the maps why it would be, you really have to try to get that Leave No Trace ethic across, haven't you?
Yes, and you know, now you've pointed that up, Simon. Perhaps it's something I didn't make a lot of in the guide, and I guess it's knowing where to stop before you start, you know, producing almost a book. But yeah, I mean, Leave No Trace is a great kite mark for outdoor operators. We encourage people into the outdoors, and we take the responsibility as guides and coaches to work with people. So having a really firm grasp about what is good practice in terms of leaving no footprint and not damaging our environment is, I think, really important.
But it is dangerous when you go to the extent of saying and putting a little map putting a little tent symbol on a map, because, you know, that way you could be concentrating the effort somewhere.
That is an inherent contradiction. And I think as the first guides to kayaking came out, the guides on the West Coast and as they've developed, I had those very, very same thoughts. At a pragmatic level, not having a guide wasn't deterring people from coming and camping and kayaking on Butte. And as I mentioned at the beginning, asking lots of questions about how to do that in terms of local information that I might have. But yes, I agree. And creating those potential hotspots. And that's why I mentioned that I think that the good practice of having the toilet facility at the north end is exactly that good practice. And we could do more of that kind of thing. And whilst it does leave, it changes the landscape because we're there and we've put some built environment in there that wasn't there before. On the other hand, you know, all these Isles of the Clyde have been farmed and settled for at least 5,000 to 10,000 years. So none of this environment is true wilderness. It's all been managed by our species.
Oh, absolutely. It's just pristine. Do it better. Yeah. I think exactly. It's just making sure that people. I've never met a sea kayaker I didn't get along with. So I'm sure everybody wants to do the right thing. It's giving them the information to do the right thing. I think that's sometimes what it boils down to. And I'm glad to a certain extent that you bring that up right at the start. The point is, don't leave a trace. When you go back, when someone comes back there, they shouldn't be able to see that you've been kayaking, except perhaps there's less rubbish than when you arrived.
Well, I'm very proud of the trip we just did with 8 clients last week. We rocked up at Porta Vadi and camped in the little bay just near there. And we walked around to the marina and asked if they could give us half a dozen big black bags, etc. And we cleared the little area that we were in of all the plastics and things and took them back. And a very, very kind couple of walkers with a great big 4x4 allowed us to put their back seats down and took all the rubbish back to the into the marina to be disposed of. So it's just a drop in the ocean doing something like that. But it is important to make the statements that we can arrive somewhere and leave it better than we found it.
Actually, what is the general principle when you're pulling up somewhere on Butte? Because I don't know the island. Is it fairly easy to do you have to go looking for someone, say, is it okay if I camp here? Or is it pretty much, you know, as long as you're out of sight of houses and what have you, that you're fairly safe to camp? No one's going to come rallying you and get off my land.
The Countryside Code Land Reform Act, I've never had any difficulties with any groups or any reported to me that if you're Great. Behaving as the code demands, behaving responsibly and not in sight of others and not damaging the environment, I've no known record of anybody being asked to move or being given a hard time or challenged. The farmers seem to be perfectly at one with the idea of sharing the land that they manage with others if it's done responsibly.
So how far is it, this whole trip? It's a question I should have asked at the beginning and I realised I hadn't, so I've left it right till the end. How far is it? And realistically, if you want to enjoy it, not go fully out, but you want to do more than 2 miles a day, how long should you allow for it?
2 to 3 days. It's a tad over 60K. So if you're looking to do 20 kilometers a day, take three. If 30 kilometers a day is your comfort zone, take two. But the more days you take over it, the more you will see, and the more that you stop in places and go for a walk and just look at what's around you, the greater the enjoyment there is to have. I don't tire of it, and I've been paddling the coastline of this small island for the best part of 30 years. So take as long as you have over it. And as I suggest in the guide, if you've travelled a distance to get here, perhaps think about extending your trip and popping over to Arran and Skipness on the Kintyre Peninsula, and make a bigger journey of it if that's what you have the time for and what appeals to you.
If it does appeal, then make sure you get hold of a copy of Roddy's guide. The first part is in Ocean Paddler magazine, which comes out July 2015. There's an electronic version in the Kindle store. Search for Sea Kayaking Guide to the Isle of Bute, or download the PDF version from seakayakpodcast.com, where, of course, you'll find loads of other great interviews with interesting kayakers. I'm Simon Willis. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.